Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. He grew up on television playing the only son on The Cosby Show. Bill Cosby reacting to the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played Theo Huxtable.
He was very professional. 54 years old and always studied, always knew his part. He would have been one of Spencer Tracy's favorite actors. He never bumped into the furniture. He always knew his lines, and he always knew where to go.
Bill Cosby accused by multiple women of sexual assault and harassment, his conviction overturned on appeal. The FAA is investigating the near miss of that Delta regional jet and a B-52 over the skies of Minot, North Dakota. The pilot forced to make an abrupt maneuver to avoid the military jet, which had been executing a flyover at a state fair nearby. The list of countries calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza has grown to 28, with Greece, Malta, and Cyprus joining many others. This is ABC News.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Months after emerging victorious in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history, Justice-elect Susan Crawford is finally set to be sworn in. Crawford will officially take her seat on the court for a 10-year term on August 1st with a ceremony in the state Capitol Rotunda at 4:30 p.m. Her victory in the April election preserved a 4-3 liberal majority on the state's highest court. State Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor has announced her candidacy for the 2026 election, which could further solidify the liberal majority. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin state legislature seeks to address a shortage in the number of school bus drivers across the state. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles, the number of bus drivers in the state has fallen by nearly 20% over the last 15 years. The legislation would make it easier for older drivers to keep their license by requiring drivers over 70 years old to retake their driver's test every 4 years instead of every 2 years. About a quarter of school bus drivers in the state are over 65 years old. The Northwest Wisconsin region has once again been hit with Canadian wildfire smoke, causing hazy skies and air quality issues as temperatures heat up. National Weather Service officials say the air quality should begin to improve as hot and humid weather reaches the region on Wednesday. While the hot and humid weather will improve the air quality, it will also threaten much of the state with an extreme heat watch. Northwest Wisconsin residents should plan to limit their time outdoors this week between the poor air quality and extreme heat in the forecast. Leadership Washburn County is now accepting applications for their 2025-2026 program. Anyone who works in the county and is interested in the professional and personal development program is welcome to apply. The application can be filled out online and the organization will accept them until August 11th. Program participants will meet once per month from September to May to develop their leadership skills and work to address issues facing the region. The program will cover topics like local healthcare and economic issues taught by local community and business leaders. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Miz takes on the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Seattle, where the Brewers rookie, Jacob Mizorowski, faces the Mariners. The Crew winning last night 6-0. Brandon Woodruff went 6 innings on just 62 pitches, allowing only 2 hits in the shutout. Milwaukee now with an 11-game winning streak. NFL, the Packers sign right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal worth $88 million, over $30 million in a signing bonus, the largest ever for an NFL offensive lineman. What makes Zach Tom so special?
I think he can play any position. He kind of found his home at right tackle. I think his versatility is one of the things that makes him special. I think he can play all five, and there's not a lot of guys that can do that. I would say that he's got the athleticism. I think he's a very intelligent football player, and he's played pretty consistent over the course of the last few years.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. It's going to be muggy today with a high near 90 and a heat index near 100. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. It's going to be hot and humid tomorrow with a high near 94. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Then Green Bay comedian Kristen Lighty joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd. Parker Olson produces this fine program down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us from the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh in just a sec. And then later this hour, we will talk about ways that some groups in Wisconsin are holding politicians accountable. They may be about to go on their August recess, but that doesn't mean they won't still be held accountable for supporting a big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill in D.C. that's going to cause harm to a lot of folks in Wisconsin. We'll talk about those efforts and a successful effort to set a world record by some folks up north who want to call attention to a potentially dangerous oil and gas pipeline that's running through parts of northern Wisconsin. So that and much more still ahead. But first, let's head out to the EAA Air Venture, where meteorologist Brittany Merlot has positioned herself to have the aura of a rising sun right behind her to tell us what's happening. And she camps out at Air Venture in Oshkosh. Ms. Merlot, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. As you can see, the sun is shining here. It is so bright this morning. I'm trying to block it out of the way, but can't really get around it between the sounds of the Oshkosh and then the sun. It is a beautiful morning, but I will say when the sun comes up, every camper wakes up, right? You can't beat the sun. It wakes you up wide awake. Now, there's a lot of clouds, though, all across the state. 57 degrees right now into Green Bay, 73 into La Crosse. We are going to heat things up, and the humidity is going to start to seep in as this warm front nears us today. So we are climbing to the mid-80s statewide to near 90 degrees far west. Those muggy, humid conditions are already moving in. Dew points are going to hit the low 70s today, and then by tomorrow morning, we are looking at some showers and storms definitely rolling through the area. Looks like they start around 5 a.m. Waves of them move through the state. Another one again in the evening and into the night, and that active pattern continues as that front sets up over northern Wisconsin and then drags itself through the rest of the state into Thursday. So as this moves in and continues to push this hot, humid air in, we're going to hit the mid-90s down south tomorrow. But then, of course, that rain going on up north, maybe some 70s up there. But it is going to be sticky. It is going to be feeling like triple digits with the heat index. And I am nervous with my tent. I'm not going to lie. I've got a little fan. It is solar powered, and that is all I have. I have no AC anywhere.
Ooh, well, you. I mean, you're doing the whole roughing it thing here. To see all that's going on at Air Venture, tell us some of the stuff you got to see yesterday that you enjoyed.
The blimp, the Goodyear blimp, there's multiple of them. I thought it was just going to be one. No, there was three of them here. They were massive. And it was cool to see them take off at like a 45 degree angle. I can't imagine being in there. It looked so much fun. There is just a bunch of planes everywhere, lots of people everywhere. It's hard to remember everything that happened yesterday because there's so many exhibits, speeches, things going on here that you can go and see. I would honestly say it's just making new friends. I've talked to a lot of volunteers here. I talked to the staff, security staff, to see what was going on and how they kind of run the event. And what do they do when severe weather happens? How do they get them out of here? What do they do? How much boarding do they have? So I was kind of digging into some of that kind of stuff. But overall, having fun.
Good. Do you measure steps? Do you know how many steps you put on yesterday?
Everybody was doing that yesterday. That's so funny. They were saying between 15 to 20,000 steps. I forgot to register mine. So I'll do it today. I'll let you know tomorrow.
You know what? I'll take it on faith that you did 15,000 steps yesterday.
Yeah, feels like it.
I am absolutely sure you did. And I think it's great that you're asking these questions about, you know, what happens if stormy weather happens out there. Obviously, it's happened. And, you know, folks are going to be looking at you and going, is it here yet? Is it coming yet? As if you carry around a radar, you know, on your wristwatch all the time or something like that.
Wristwatch, I wish I had it on the wristwatch. That would be great.
I know.
The pocket.
But you mentioned that folks from NOAA and the National Weather Service are there as well. So, I mean, they are definitely covered in terms of, you know, knowing what the weather's going to be like when it comes in. Have you heard much chatter yet about the near miss in North Dakota between the B-52 bomber and the commercial jet that was trying to land in Minot? Has that been a topic of conversation around there?
Ooh, not just yet. I'm sure that sounds like it's going to be a topic today, though.
I'm sure it will, in terms of, who's got radar and who talks to who out there. So just so much to see and do around the Oshkosh area. So, Brittany, go enjoy it all. Are we talking to you tomorrow?
Yes, you are.
Depending on the weather, I suppose.
True.
And your comfort level. All right. Well, enjoy, and we'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Brittany. Hey, by the way, a reminder that if you miss any of our shows last hour or something, you know, yesterday or last week, and you want to catch up on it, you can head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, where every hour's program of this show and all the others are listed, you know, hour by hour, and you can go back and listen, or you can subscribe as a podcast to catch us as well. You just have to head over to Spotify or Apple and get yourself subscribed to this program, all the others, and you will never miss a thing again. Let's check the mailbag here from Rob in Tigerton. Good morning. Hazy sunshine, 59 degrees yesterday with lawn mowing jobs in Wittenberg. He had spaghetti for lunch at Brianna's in Wittenberg. It was very busy. Most folks heading to the EAA. Today he's got lawn mowing jobs in Tigerton, getting them done before the heat, the humidity, and the storms come in. We played Super Tramp in our last segment and said maybe there'll be a weather theme. Maybe tomorrow we'll play Super Tramps, It's Raining Again, a song that they had back in 1982. So we thank Rob for writing in. And a reminder that you all can do the same thing here by getting on Facebook or YouTube, jumping into the comment section like Roger did in Stevens Point to talk about how the Miz is on the hill tonight. That, of course, would be Jacob Mizorowski pitching for your first place Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, I said first place Milwaukee Brewers. They were winners against the Seattle Mariners yesterday. Final score was 6-0. In fact, while Brandon Woodruff went 6 strong innings, only gave up 2 singles, walked nobody, the fact of the matter was Seattle's George Kirby had carried a no-hitter into the 6th inning. But then the Brewers were able to bust things open. They tagged him for 4 runs after sending 8 men to the plate in the 6th, and 6-0 was the final there. The Brewers now have won 11 in a row. 60 of their first 100 games. That's the first time in team history. And as we mentioned last hour, they're doing it with a different roster than the one that won the division last year. I mean, no Willie Adames, no Corbin Burns, no Devin Williams. But they're still getting things done. And Jacob Mizorowski, one of those new faces, will be the pitcher tonight. Pregame begins at 8:05 on several Civic Media stations. Then they will play. They'll wrap up the series in Seattle tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow's pregame will start at 2:05 in the afternoon. They are off on Thursday, and then they come home for a weekend series against the Florida Marlins. And then, of course, that really big series starting next Monday at home against the Chicago Cubs, because with yesterday's win, the Brewers moved into first place. They're holding it down on their own for the first time since early to mid-April. And so that Cubs series next week is just going to loom so much larger as we really start to head into the final third of the season happening before long. Across the Civic Media Radio Network today, Jane Matinair has Matinair on Air along with Greg Bach coming up from 9 to 11 following our festivities here. Todd Albo will be joining Jane and Greg at 9:30. And then on Todd's show, Todd Alba's show from 2 to 4, you'll have Surjita Patra of Wisconsin Watch talking about increasing suicide rates among senior Wisconsinites. Then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 will have Angela Lang from Block in Milwaukee just after 4 o'clock and State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim just after 5 o'clock. Again, all of that coming up here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where there aren't just programs here. There are also podcasts, and that would include one called Wisconsin Forward with Matt Rothschild. It's a weekly dive into a topic surrounding a current political problem in the state, a little background on how we got to where we are today and what some folks are working on now, possible ways forward. It's a uniquely Wisconsin take on the big issues that are preventing progress and the people with ideas to move forward. You can subscribe and download Wisconsin Forward on Spotify, Apple, or on the Civic Media website as well. Every Tuesday or so, we try to give you an idea of what some of the most popular stories are over on our social media sites. If you search for Up North News or Up North News WI on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can see all the work that the rest of my team is doing throughout the course of the day. And I can tell you, looking at some information that Sherita Booker, our social media manager, shared with us, a preview of the EAA Air Venture was among the top three stories on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter late last week, in part because of the economic impact. You see, the last time anyone tried to measure the economic impact of that week-long fly-in, it came to about $170 million. But that study was done several years ago, and a new report is out and updates that figure. It is now a $257 million boost to the local economy. Actually, the regional economy, when you consider how far away you have to go to get a hotel room or camping space when you have more than 500,000 folks coming to town for the event. Over on Facebook, our most viewed story was about Pewaukee's future NFL Hall of Famer J.J. Watt. He recently stopped by a Badger football practice in Madison, and also had some thoughts on little brother TJ Watt's new contract extension that'll pay TJ over 3 years what JJ made in more than a decade in the NFL. On Instagram, far and away the post that was most viewed, most shared, and most commented on dealt with the Trump administration trying to withhold nearly $7 billion from Wisconsin school kids and State Attorney General Josh Call's lawsuit to get those cuts restored. It's one of about two dozen lawsuits that Call and other attorneys general have filed as courts continue reminding President Trump that he's not a dictator, not yet anyway, and still has to follow the law, at least sometimes, when it comes to providing the funds that Congress had already approved earlier. And over on TikTok, our top post dealt with homelessness in rural Wisconsin. It is very much a growing problem, and rural communities, of course, are already facing tough budgets when it comes to helping people who are just trying to keep a roof over their heads. But while Governor Tony Evers proposed solutions, Republicans in the legislature, a great many of them from rural districts, removed any increase in state help before passing the new state budget. And as always, you can read up about all of our latest posts on your favorite social media channel, plus our newsletter, plus our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And in terms of, you know, Governor Evers and his state budget, of course, we're now waiting on him to tell us whether he'll be running for re-election. Will he run for a third term next year or not? We will be talking in just over an hour from the recombobulation area. That would be Dan Schaefer. Because it's a quiet time in Wisconsin politics right now. I know I've tried booking some legislators as guests. We're going to have a couple coming on this week to talk about a bill that would help regulate cryptocurrency in Wisconsin, make sure that there aren't scams that can rip people off, especially when you see these ATM-looking things that let you deal in cryptocurrency, making sure that they really are worth something if you're going to try to do business here in Wisconsin. So we'll have State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Ryan Spouty on Thursday morning to talk about that. But otherwise, things are a little quiet out there in politics land. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer about that in an hour. A local update is next for some of you. Others will visit with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander. Live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free, confidential support 24/7. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211, or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Nice to have you back on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd, 2025. Let's bring in Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW-TV in Rhinelander. Dan, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Good morning from Rhinelander. We got a pretty decent day out there with some cloud cover.
All right. Are you still doing your roller skiing, kind of your well in advance training for next year's Birkebeiner?
Right. We only have 211 days till the Birkebeiner. Just kidding. I made that up. I don't know. But yeah, I've been roller skiing and staying active. I'll be going on a bike ride with my dad today is the plan.
Okay. Wait, yeah. Now your dad, who's won, you know, continues to beat you in most of these Birkebeiners, is the biking competitive as well?
Yeah, he is a beast. I only got half of his athleticism. My mom kind of, you know, washed it out a little bit with her lack of athleticism.
You're blaming mom. Okay. All right.
Jeez,
okay.
I didn't know that canceled out.
That's, yeah, I didn't know it worked that way. That's awesome. I don't have to practice. My mom's, look at her. I mean, come on.
Of course I am just teasing.
I know. Yeah. But you have another favorite athletic endeavor as well, and it's not tennis.
That's right.
It's using those things that used to be tennis courts.
Yeah, so we're celebrating 5 years of the Rhinelander pickleball courts today. There will be a little kind of game going on at 5:30 p.m. this evening. And it's kind of remarkable because there's a community just north of us, Eagle River. They're still trying to get their first pickleball courts. But this craze is still kind of sweeping the nation. Pretty much every community has them. And man, they are packed every day. So good for them.
Okay. So you play, so you get it. And I'm going to offend a bunch of people, but it's a legitimate sport. to you, the way that you're playing. This is something you could play frequently.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I'm working up a sweat, and it's a good combination of strategy and just sport, I would say.
There you know.
There is a professional thing, I think, of it too.
Oh, yeah.
It's going wild. Yeah.
That's over there on ESPN 8, the Ocho, you know. From the text line, Jim in Brookfield, Dan, if you are roller skiing in this heat for the Berkey, you are a true believer with Berkey fever. So folks are noticing.
I always got Berkey fever. You know, maybe not the month after the Berkey, but then it starts going again, sure. You know.
All right. Stories that you're following up there on NewsWatch 12 include one that you had yesterday. Tell folks a bit about, you know, the... When we hear about what's happening in Washington, D.C. and funding for like public broadcasting, I think a lot of folks don't realize that that hits close to home, and that includes Rhinelander.
Yeah, so Rhinelander, you know, doesn't have a lot of news. We have WJFW, my TV station, and we have the local radio station. And then we have some newspapers that are not as well staffed as they used to be. So when you hit one of the media partners, it really impacts everyone. And WXPR is a fantastic public radio station, and they recently lost $171,000 because of this rescissions package done by Congress to cut funding for PBS and public radio. So I think we have a story from Ian that we can play.
On the evening of July 17th, the House of Representatives finalized a $1.1 billion cut for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, creating financial insecurity for local radio stations such as WXPR in Rhinelander.
Just because you live in a rural area does not mean that you shouldn't have access to information and news that's happening in your community or, you know, around the nation, around the world. So that's an important piece that WXPR offers to the community.
In the Northwoods, many residents rely on WXPR's services, ranging from regular broadcasts to community outreach and emergency alerts. But a 25% cut could put operations at risk.
I think it's easy to assume that everyone is connected and the internet can deliver everything, but that's still not the case. Radio is still needed. Other forms of broadcasting are still needed in this area.
Over 50% of WXPR's annual budget comes from listeners, but with the finalized cuts, that support is integral to help operations continue smoothly.
We have always really leaned on our listeners, not only for financial support, but also to tell us what they prioritize. And so we will be leaning on them to say, what is it that you really value about the station?
Development Director Phoebe Spear says that they try to build a culture of authenticity at WXPR, highlighting local events that would otherwise get ignored, strengthening the community in the process.
People really value hearing something that's not an algorithm. They value hearing from their neighbors. And that's what they get here at WXPR. They value that, and that's what we offer.
WXPR is holding their annual summer pledge drive from July 18th to the 26th, and they're asking all their listeners for support. Reporting in Rhinelander, Ian Ferris, NewsWatch 12.
Public broadcast.
So there you go. The again, it's a big chunk. It's not everything. There's still, you know, a lot of listener support that goes on there, but it seems more than ever we're now in this age, Dan, where if you want local news, you've got to find ways to outwardly support it. You can't just turn a dial and expect that everything's going to be as it always has been.
Yeah, you're exactly right. A quarter of their funding came from the federal government, $171,000. And I liked what Phoebe said there at the end. People don't want algorithms. I fear that it's only going to get worse, you know, with news consumption and how it can be tailor-made and often AI-generated and often nefarious. So, yeah, more important than ever to support your local broadcasters.
I mean, gosh, you say AI, and I mean, that should make the case right there, because the stuff that's going on out there, you know, it's referred to as slop, but it can be serious stuff, and you think, well, it's just a national thing right now, but I mean, we're going to be seeing stuff at the local level before you know it, and it's more important than ever to identify and support those trusted journalists like what you've got up there at the TV station. So thanks for bringing us a kind of the attention to that matter, to a very valuable news outlet there, as is your own WJFW. Appreciate that, Dan. Thanks, and keep cool out there on the pickleball courts and on the roller skis.
That's right. I think I'm going to hit the bike ride today with Dad. I got to keep up with him. So thanks.
Oh, man. All right.
biking down the old man yet. Got to catch him. Right. All right. Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you later. When we come back, we'll talk more about those federal budget cuts and ways that groups are calling attention to them long after the ink has dried on the bill. The impact is going to be felt for a long time to come. And we'll talk more about that in just a bit after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Well, it's a few more weeks before the school bell rings in Wisconsin, but we're facing a challenge with agriculture education. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. Details on how that's being addressed next.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Cheryl Zimmerman is the executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Association, and she says right now many school districts across the state are scampering, trying to find agriculture educators to fill vacancies.
What we're finding is this: we have ag programs that are adding more teachers. So now we have several programs that have 3, 4, and 5 ag teachers. We're finding we're adding programs, and so we're also going into the virtual dimension of FFA. We started our first virtual program in McFarland with Destinations Career Academy. We're going to be chartering our second one now with iForward out of Grantsburg, Wisconsin. And so that's kind of a new dimension. But, there are opportunities to be an educator for agriculture, and we've still got some openings before the school year starts.
Cheryl Zimmerman, executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Association, she says Wisconsin is not alone when it comes to the challenges of trying to fill these agriculture education vacancies. She said it's something that's occurring nationwide.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide. Enter the Real Results Yield Challenge and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
And Wisconsin crops have been capitalizing on the warm weather we've had over the past few weeks. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows as of Sunday, 79% of our corn crop in Wisconsin was rated good to excellent. We also have about 75% of our soybeans currently rated good to excellent. Winter wheat, 72% of that crop called good to excellent, and 14% of that wheat has already been harvested. 3% of our potato crop also already harvested. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. More anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter. I'm Pam Yonke.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. It's going to be muggy today with a high near 90 and a heat index near 100. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. It's going to be hot and humid tomorrow with a high near 94. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes, you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An important topic, the increase in death by suicide by Wisconsin's elderly. Folks from Wisconsin Watch will join us and discuss. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Remember to stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news. Sign up for our newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. That includes our weekend newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where there is a question of the week that we like to share. And this time around, it's about candidate for governor Bill Berrien already dropping $400,000 in advertising to build up his name ID. Because nobody knows Bill Berrien outside of his friends and family and his Christmas card list. So he's got to advertise, even though it's more than a year before the primary for governor, and without even knowing if Governor Tony Evers is running or not. So our question of the week asks what you think of that. Is it a case of A, you hate it? In fact, you hate it so much you might even hold it against him for running ads this early. What about option B, where it's I don't like it, but I get it? You know, you gotta spend some money to get your name ID out there. And we gave you an option C. You like it. You actually like that a candidate shows some initiative and wants to talk to voters right away. Well, Joe H. probably sums it up best. She didn't just put A. She put like a string of them, like A, with an angry emoji face after that. And Mary writes, I hate it, in all caps. And then she writes, sorry for the all caps. Wishing there was a time limit as to when campaigns run, including all ads and mailings and social media. Mary, how great would that be if we could just have everything limited to a very brief time frame to get all the information out there, but not have it last for a year or 4 years or whatever. Linda Z went with option B, saying, I don't like it, but I get it. And she, too, writes, I still think all campaigns should be limited to 6 months prior to voting day. You know, that might actually make for a good follow-up question of the week is, you know, if you could limit campaigns and say, you know, they're going to be announced here and the deadlines are here, the election day is here, how much should they be? Because, you know, at some point, if an election campaign is too short, you're not going to be a very well-informed voter. You may not learn everything about a candidate until after they've taken office. We already know campaigns can be too long. I'm just saying that they can be too short as well. So Goldilocks, what's just right? Is it 2 months? Is it 6 months? Something like that. Again, I don't know that we could necessarily pull it off, but if you could, you and your magic wand, what would it be? You can always send us a note here. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com is the email address. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's do a follow-up for something we talked about in May, and it's all about the Enbridge Line 5 oil and gas pipeline that is slated to be rerouted around the Bad River tribal community, but still running through the Bad River watershed where it could pose a danger to Lake Superior. And back in May, we heard from Jadine Sonoda of the Sierra Club for Wisconsin and a project where they were trying to break the world record for the most origami fish collected and displayed. Why collect origami fish and have them displayed? As a way to show public opposition to Line 5, not just the reroute, but to the line existing entirely. And it seemed rather ambitious. They were going to have to collect more than 18,303 origami fish, but they put up a website, fishforfuture.org. And so here's a little bit of what Jadine Sonoda told us back on May 5th about the project, about the origami fish, about standing up to the Enbridge Line 5 project. And I started by asking her about the Sierra Club here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin chapter, as you said, is part of the broader organization of Sierra Club, which operates across the nation. We focus a lot on statewide issues. So we've got members and volunteers really across the whole state working on a variety of issues, also focusing on local issues in particular areas. But yeah, we're really looking at climate conservation and how all of these pieces intertwine with environmental justice. And so today I'm here to talk a little bit about one of our campaigns focused on Line 5.
And that Line 5, for folks that don't know the full background on it, it is a pipeline that has existed for decades. It's getting near the end of its natural lifespan. And there's certainly been dispute from the Bad River community, and to the point where Enbridge is looking to reroute the line around the reservation community there. But even rerouting that line, Jadine, would not take it out of the potential to do immense harm to the Bad River, and then, you know, flowing right into Lake Superior, not that far away.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some incredible maps that look at the route that Enbridge, the pipeline company, is proposing to construct in, and just the number of waterways that it cuts across. It's really scary to think about. We've seen the impacts of Enbridge's construction, for example, with Line 3 in Minnesota a couple years ago, and just the devastation of punctured aquifers and frackouts of drilling fluid. So there's a lot of worry that this construction and continued operation of the pipeline would result in damages both to the waterways and to especially the sloughs in the area and Lake Superior.
And so wherever that line ends up going, it could be a potential threat. We've certainly seen it spill in other places like Michigan. Enbridge had a major spill there. And so let's get into the project that is designed to demonstrate public opposition to, you know, that potential for an environmental disaster. What is the world record that you're trying to set, and how are you going about doing it?
Good question. So we're really looking for something fun and a way to talk about this that's positive and uplifting. And we were thinking, what better way than to try and set a world record? We are going to be attempting to break the world record for our largest collection of origami fish. The record is currently 18,303. We are working our way up towards that number. But the intention here is to really find a way to talk about Line 5 and especially the importance of protecting the Great Lakes while we're doing a fun activity, a way to like get people engaged from all age spans, from places that might not be interested in just like hearing about Line 5, but think an art project is really cool. It's been amazing. I feel like people have been really excited about it. And kind of like I had mentioned before, we've got a lot of new people who are learning about the importance of protecting the Great Lakes and how Line 5 threatens the Great Lakes. We've got a lot of schools who are participating. I've heard of someone who is bringing this to a nursing home that they work in. We've got a lot of faith communities who are participating. Just in general, I feel like it's been a really great opportunity to reach more people and find something that is really exciting and a way to uplift the positive pieces of protecting the water and the watersheds and the areas that we all live in.
So that was Jadine Sonoda back on May 5th talking to us about the Sierra Club role in collecting the origami fish. So here's the update, as we got from Megan Whitman out at the Sierra Club. Again, the number that they had to break for collecting fish was 18,303. The final total they've collected, 86,262. I mean, they smashed the world record. What is that? That's like five times the amount that they were seeking to get, which again, they believe demonstrates tremendous opposition to the project. They said they received fish from all 50 states, plus Puerto Rico, Canada, Mexico, and the Netherlands. Fish were made by more than 70 groups across the Great Lakes region, including religious organizations, schools, scouting groups, climate action organizations, and more. So a successful effort to get a world record and call attention to a big environmental priority here up north. Also taking place recently was a program put on by the group Opportunity Wisconsin to highlight Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill and all of the cuts that are coming to regular middle-class Wisconsin families to help pay for tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And Opportunity Wisconsin paired up with an ice cream parlor in Eau Claire to start a food drive to call attention to the cuts to nutrition programs. That's because Sunday was National Ice Cream Day, and the owner of Ramon's Ice Cream Parlor in Eau Claire was part of a food drive that is going to help a local charity, the Community Table, and call attention to the cuts in food benefits being supported by their congressman, Derek Van Orden. So through the end of the month, anyone who brings in a non-perishable food item to Ramon's in Eau Claire is going to get a certificate for a free cone or dish. The folks at Opportunity Wisconsin noted that the Trump mega bill is going to cut food assistance for tens of thousands of Wisconsinites to pay for those tax breaks. Blaine Midtune, the owner of Ramon's, has done all kinds of cones for a cause efforts, raising more than $300,000 over the years for various concerns. And he is understandably perplexed at how it's become a partisan thing, whether to give tax cuts to the rich or feed the poor.
Really, above everything, this should be a nonpartisan type issue at our local level, right here in the Chippewa Valley, right here in Eau Claire. Political parties have been founded on the belief that small government, but then when small government is in place, that it is up to local community, it's up to the churches, the spiritual institutions, it's up to our neighbors, it's up to our local officials, and it's up to each and every single one of us. So when things are good, we have that opportunity to spread money around, invest in ourselves, invest in our children, that kind of thing. But then we also have that opportunity to give back on a local level as well. And that's where those dollars are really important. That's where the community giving is really important. And that's something that we've really kind of strived for with Ramon's in the last 9 years since we opened in 2017, is we have a program called Cash for a Cause. And in the 9 years that we've been open, we've raised and we've given back over $300,000 to local organizations and nonprofit institutions, just like the Community Table, many, many times over with the Community Table and other organizations here in the Chippewa Valley that are helping residents right here in Eau Claire, because there are shortcomings.
That's Blaine Midtune again, the owner of Ramon's. And the food drive, like I said, will benefit the Community Table. Executive Director TJ Atkins says about half the people they serve at the Community Table are currently unhoused, a stat that really jumped post-COVID. And from Opportunity Wisconsin, here's Ethan Reed, who talks about how really what Van Orden and Brian Stile are doing amounts to a double whammy, not just the cuts in nutrition programs, but the increase in food prices from things like Donald Trump's trade war tariffs.
Just weeks ago, Congressman Derek Van Orden voted for the Republican tax law that cuts food assistance for Wisconsinites to pay for billionaire and corporate tax breaks. State officials have warned that as many as 90,000 Wisconsinites could lose SNAP benefits because of this law. At the same time, news reports show that tariffs are increasing the cost of food and other goods like the aluminum, like the aluminum you see behind us, making it even harder for families to put food on the table. This is a double burden no family should have to bear. No family should have to worry about where their next meal is coming from or how they'll afford groceries, yet that is the current reality for too many Wisconsinites. Instead of alleviating this crisis, Congressman Derek Van Orden and Republicans in Congress are taking food from their constituents and raising prices to give more tax breaks to the wealthy.
And so Opportunity Wisconsin is, bringing up the tariffs as well. And he said the aluminum behind me, what he meant was all those canned goods. They're in aluminum cans. And so for everybody, whether their nutrition programs are being cut or not, they're going to face higher costs, all because of the tariffs that the Trump administration has put into place. All right, a local break is coming up next for some of you, and for others, we continue with our new regional segment, Way Up North, where we're going to talk to folks who live up in the Bayfield, Ashland, Superior areas about issues that are important in far northwest Wisconsin. All that just ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to 12 secretaries of state requesting their complete voter records as part of President Trump's executive order on elections. The reason for the request isn't completely clear, nor is the legality of such a request, which may violate the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. Back in May, we reported that DOJ requested records on Colorado's 4.65 million registered voters. To date, similar letters have been received by Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. An email sent to Rhode Island officials asked to collect, quote, voting information as part of the department's efforts to implement President Trump's executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, unquote. It goes on to request a discussion on sharing information to find illegally registered voters, fraudulent voters, and enforcement of federal law. New Hampshire Secretary of State declined, citing state statute keeping voter rolls, quote, private and confidential. In addition to the Herculean logistics of such a request, Loyola Marymount Law School's Justin Levitt writes that such requests may not be legal under the Privacy Act of 1974, prohibiting the federal government from obtaining information on free speech activities, including voting and other personal information. We've linked the DOJ letters at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
/advertise. 7:52 now on this Tuesday morning. Time to go way up north and talk about issues up close to the communities on the Lake Superior shore and other areas of northwest Wisconsin. And we have a rotating panel of guests who will be joining us Tuesdays at this time, including former legislator Fred Clark, who's along with us. And in a moment, we'll be talking to Dr. Kate Stolp, the medical advisor for Bayfield County. Fred, good morning. How are you? Oh, Fred, I think you are either you're muted or, yeah, you might be. Give that little button a push and tell me if you're still there. I know I heard you a minute ago, and now I'm not hearing
you. How about that?
There you go. That's it.
See,
it's like the old antenna on our TV. You had to move the antenna just the right way with the rabbit ears.
You had to kick the side of the box to make it come on right.
Yeah. That's right. And again, Dr. Kate Stolp is here as well. Kate, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be here.
All right. Well, Fred, let's have you set this up to talk about a couple of different concerns up north, both tick-borne illnesses, which are being exacerbated by a changing climate, and measles cases, which are being exacerbated by people in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. Fred, tell us a bit more about why this is such a concern for you and others up north.
Well, so here we are in the heart of the summer tourist season here in the Bayfield Peninsula, and like many parts of the state, lots of visitors in the area right now from other states and other parts of the world. It's a great time of year. One climate issue we've been seeing, many of us have experienced is the wildfire smoke from some of these massive fires in Canada that, of course, are highly disruptive to Canadians. And we've seen the impacts of that here, too, with reduced visibility and some air quality problems. But especially what was open to talk with Kate Stolpe today. Kate's a friend, and she's a medical director for Bayfield County. And one of the things, of course, they're keeping an eye on is some of the infectious diseases that we all need to be concerned about. I learned a lot a few weeks ago talking about measles with Kate and her colleague, Dr. Ann Reitz, and thought it might be valuable to hear from her today.
Oh, without a doubt. Dr. Stolpe, tell us more about the rising concern about rising measles cases.
Well, first of all, let me say we haven't had any measles cases yet, but we have seen a big rise. Everyone knows about Texas, I think, having quite a few measles cases this year. But Texas, measles is in almost every state in the United States now, and we are surrounded by Michigan, Illinois, and Minnesota, all of whom have had measles cases, including in the Upper Peninsula. There have been 4 cases. And the issue is that I think because a lot of people thought measles was eradicated, or there was fear of autism, which is an unfounded fear, and we could get into that if we needed to, but a lot of people quit vaccinating their kids. And we only have 67% of our kindergartners vaccinated right now. And so if we get measles, it could be bad. And you have to realize that measles hasn't been around for so many years that doctors haven't seen it. Yeah. Health providers haven't seen it. And so if we get it, it could spread like wildfire, keeping people out of school, in any of their activities, adults, infants, and seniors are, of course, the most vulnerable, and it's highly, highly contagious, far more contagious than COVID, for example.
And that 67% of kindergartners, that is one of the lowest rates in the nation, right? I mean, it is.
That is.
It is just an absolutely shameful figure, and that's why the word is getting out about how bad measles is, and a lot of people have just frankly forgotten about it. Kate, can you tell us briefly as well about the concerns about tick-borne illnesses? I know as I was learning more about a changing climate, we think about so many of the big things. We don't think about the little things and how, you know, drier, hotter conditions allow ticks, allow their territory to spread and cause more issues.
Right, exactly. And the biggest concern right now, I mean, we all know about Lyme disease, and there are a number of tick-borne illnesses, but there's a new one on the horizon. It's been around for a while, but now we're starting to see it, and we've had 2 cases this year in Bayfield County called Powassan, named after Powassan, Ontario, where it was first discovered. And Powassan, the danger with this one is there is absolutely no treatment. There's no doxycycline. There's no antibiotic. There's no viral treatment. And 10% of people who get it will have either serious neurologic damage or die. And there's nothing we can do for it. And so being careful about tucking your pants in your socks, using DEET-containing bug spray, mowing your lawns, all of those things, being, you know, taking a shower as soon as you come in from being out in the woods or the grass, really important.
And of course, then the last thing, and we've got just over a minute left to talk about that, would be the wildfire smoke. And again, Dr. Kate Stolpe is the Bayfield County Medical Advisor, a very genuine concern. It's much more than just a nuisance for very vulnerable groups, right?
Yes, obviously. We already know, you know, many people, especially older people with lung conditions that can't even go outside. But we do know that when we look at the increasing numbers of people with asthma, that probably the number one cause of that is air pollution. And the wildfires obviously are making that worse and exacerbating that.
Yeah. And Fred, I can't imagine that sternly worded letter from Tom Tiffany and others to Canada did a lot of good in that sense. Maybe the time to pay attention was a generation earlier when we were talking about a changing climate.
I don't think it did much good at all, other than put a stick in the eye of the Canadians, who are well aware of the challenges that they face, many of which have been made worse by greenhouse gases emitted from U.S. industries.
Yeah.
So We need to be cooperating with the Canadians and not sending them sternly worded letters about fires.
No kidding. Thankfully, they did respond with appreciation for the U.S.-based firefighters that are going up and helping, being helpers, not just whiners. So, Fred Clark, thank you for that. Dr. Kate Stolpe, medical advisor for Bayfield County. It was a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for sharing some information with us, Kate.
Thank you very much. I'm glad we had this chance.
Yes, thank you. Fred, have a great day yourself.
You as well. Take care.
All right. Chad Holmes and Dan Schaefer coming up in the next hour here on These Mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration releasing more than 250,000 pages of records related to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but still nothing new on Jeffrey Epstein, says ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
Now, the DOJ's request to release the Epstein grand jury testimony is still making its way through the courts, a process that could take months. Meanwhile, we've learned that this request will go before a federal judge who sparked fierce backlash from Republicans back in February when he limited DOJ's access to sensitive Treasury Department records.
Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche now says he is interested in hearing himself from former Epstein confidant Ghislaine Maxwell, the only person besides Epstein ever charged with sex trafficking in the case. Hazy, hot, humid conditions from St. Louis down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Feels like temperatures could be as high as 112 degrees today. By tomorrow, Chicago could see the hottest weather it's seen all year long. This is ABC News.